The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Coming up on NFL Live, Eagles head coach Doug Peterson has been diagnosed with COVID-19 as he quarantines away from his team. What effect will be felt in Philadelphia? Plus in Green Bay, when the head coach says Aaron Rodgers is his starting quarterback for a really long time, how long does that actually mean? And HBD to TB12, Tom Brady turning 43 today. What birthday gifts await him during his first season in Tampa? Hello, everybody. It's Monday, and boy, are we busy today. Welcome into NFL Live. We've got Adam Schefter, Louis Riddick, Tim Hasselbeck, and I'm Diane Rossini with you for the next hour. Guys, we've not heard a lot from Browns receiver Odell Beckham Jr. in a really long time, but today, strong comments are coming out about the upcoming season. So before he reported to training camp, Odell shared some powerful concerns about the season to the Wall Street Journal. Here's what he said. He said, obviously, with everything that's going on, it doesn't make sense why we're trying to do this. I can understand basketball was already in the playoffs. 5-on-5 basketball in an arena is going to be more intense than regular season games. Hooping is different than playing an 11-on-11 contact sport where there's 80 people in a locker room. We're not ready for football season, so why are we trying to push forward? It's obviously for their money, and that bothers me because that's always been this, and I hate saying it like that, but the owner's attitude is, oh, we own you guys. And just kind of that unfairness going on that they don't see us as human. I just feel like the season shouldn't happen, and I'm prepared for it to not happen, and I wouldn't mind not having. So again, this was before training camp opened up. So Adam, I just want to start with you. What are you hearing? Is Odell maybe considering opting out?
He's not going to opt out this season, Diana, though he has that option and will have that option until the side letter is officially signed and the deadline is officially established. But my understanding is that deadline for opt-outs could be this Wednesday. We'll wait to see when they do that. But that's exactly why the NFLPA has put into place the opt-out system, that if a player is uncomfortable playing, like Odell Beckham Jr. is here, he can opt out, though he's not planning to do that at this particular time. Now, if he feels that strongly, he always can change his mind, always could back out on the season. He clearly is not enthused about playing this upcoming season. I think he echoes the sentiments of some players. Look, we've already seen almost 50 players opt out, which I think is a surprise to the NFL that this many players have been willing to walk away from the income they can earn, from the environment that they'll be in, where they'll be tested on a regular basis to basically take off the season. A different decision for everybody. Some have medical concerns. Some have family concerns. Some have concerns with a new child. There's all sorts of reasons to walk away. Odell Beckham Jr. clearly is not thrilled with the arrangement the way it is. He has the option to walk away, but he's not planning to do that right now, Diana.
Yeah, Lou, this is obviously a superstar player of the NFL. But if you're the Browns right now and you're the GM there and you're seeing these quotes from your star receiver, what's your reaction to it?
Well, obviously, I think communication is key. Communication is always, you know, something that I stress. And I think it would be important for me as the GM to take a player like Odell, who means so much to my football team, and say, hey, look, these are procedures and protocols that we have in place here at our training camp, in our building, in our meeting rooms, in our locker room, how we're going to feed the players. This is how we're going to take care of you. And I think, you know, in talking to trainers around the league, look, I think that is the critical, critical point that has to be made here, is that the individual training staffs have to make sure that they really communicate to the rest of the organization that, look, we've got your back. We have vetted this thing from A to Z. We have crossed all the T's, dotted all the I's, and we're going to take care of you guys as best as humanly possible. You're never going to reduce risk 100%. But we are doing everything that we possibly can. And you know what? And I'll say this too. Just like all coaches and all scouts are not created equal, neither are all trainers. Some trainers are better at this than others. So I'm telling you, when I say that, you know, no expense should be spared when you're making out your training staff and your medical staff, this is the reason why. I'm not saying you're preparing for a pandemic, but these kind of situations are really what can make your organization feel comfortable and your star players feel comfortable about returning to work in this environment. Because if you can't make them feel comfortable and players have some kind of reason as to why they could opt out and it's a real legit reason, you're going to be in trouble as an organization. You have to have this zipped up as much as you possibly can. And I think that's what I would be communicating to OBJ with, is this. You're safer here than you are anywhere else right now. So hopefully you choose to play. Simple as that.
Yeah, and I think that's why the comments of saying, like, the owners look at this like, oh, hey, we own these guys and don't look at us as human. That's the absurdness of his comments. Like, the concern is legitimate, and he wouldn't be and is not alone in terms of having concern. But this notion that you're not viewed as human because you're an employee and they're going to decide to try to play the season when, Lou, as you stated, you know, they're spending all types of resources to make the work environment safe. In fact, much safer than many other work environments in this country right now. And, oh, by the way, the guys that are doing what they're doing are going to be compensated at a very nice level for it, and the care that you're going to get while you're doing it in many instances is much better than the care you're getting anywhere else. So, look, I understand the concern. I think we just need to kind of pipe it down a little bit from OBJ in terms of, you know, not being viewed as human or that the owners own them. Look, you can opt out. You're allowed to do that. Go right ahead and do that. You know, in fact, you're even going to get a little money in your pocket in doing so. So I just, listen, sometimes because you're a great player doesn't mean you make sense when you talk about issues like this. And I would put this in that category for OBJ.
Yeah, I feel like he's trying to address a lot of different issues through these comments. But I feel like there's one consistent message that we've heard from multiple players around the league right now, which is at the actual facility where they're working out, it's clean and they do feel safe there. And guys, we know that the league expected lots of positive coronavirus tests from the players, but obviously coaches are included here. Eagles head coach Doug Peterson, he informed his team last night that he's tested positive for the coronavirus. Our Tim McManus broke the story last night. Peterson's 53 years old. He's currently in self-quarantine and in communication with the team's medical staff. The organization is following all the protocols that are established by the league, the NFLPA. Here's Doug Peterson on how he's feeling today.
I know this virus affects people differently, and I'm very respectful and mindful of that. And I also want everybody to know that I'm, listen, I feel great. Energy level's high. I can still control, you know, I think one of the things that I've learned this off season is I can still run the team, you know, virtually. And that's what I have been able to do today. We understand that things like this are going to happen. And, you know, I've been able to talk with my staff about contingencies, not only with players, but also with staff members. I mentioned, I believe last week when we got together about this. So, you know, I'm not going to speculate on a timetable for me. I treat it just like players. So I'm not going to speculate on that. And when I'm back, I'm back.
Well, it's certainly great to hear that he's healthy. Adam, what is the NFL's protocol for something like this happening to an NFL head coach or a player?
Well, then he's going to have to basically test negative a couple of different times before he's allowed back to work. This is a curveball that every team is going to have to deal with at one point or another this season, depending on who it is with. It could be a head coach like Doug Peterson. It could be a quarterback. You see some of the protocols that are held up there. 10 days have passed since individuals first tested positive. So basically, he's going to be home for 10 days. 5 days have passed since individual first tested positive and receives two consecutive negative tests. You see some of those issues. Obviously, again, this points out to the lengths that the NFL is going to try to make sure it creates as safe an environment as possible. It's not going to be easy in a pandemic. Every team will be challenged, particularly playing in their own worlds. But these are the rules, and these are what teams are going to have to obey, and this is what teams will have to adjust to as the season goes on, whether it's a head coach, a quarterback, an entire unit on a team. This is going to be an unprecedented season.
Yeah. All right. So we know that there's no real football practice permitted until August 12th with the helmets are go on then. Then we got the pads August 17th. Their running backs coach will take over, Deuce Staley. What do we know in terms of what he'll be doing here to replace Doug Peterson until he returns?
He'll be the man that's in charge on the day-to-day operations in person, Diana. And again, training camps are open in a way around the league, but training camp is not like the way anybody has remembered it so far. It's not like they've reported, they're in the building all day, they're out on the field for a couple of practices. This is a different summer. This is about testing, this is about conditioning, this is about physicals, but Deuce Staley now will have an opportunity to lead this team up close when it is up close in the facility. And keep in mind, of course, that they sent home, the Eagles did, Press Taylor, the quarterback's coach and passing game coordinator, who had been in close contact with Doug Peterson, who had exposure to him. He has not tested positive, but basically he's being sent away from the facility. And this is, again, something that all teams have to deal with as Deuce Staley is now in charge at the facility.
Yeah, Adam, as we know, a lot of these guys are wearing the tracers there so they can actually keep track of who they're coming in contact with, which is how they were able to figure out, well, who's Doug Peterson been around? Here are the guys. Now you need to go home. So, Tim, you know, a team missing their head coach to COVID right now, it may not be the biggest deal because right now they're just doing the schedules. They're overlooking things. They're going through these walkthroughs. But come the season, this is a different story. What concerns you?
Well, I think the thing that would concern me is, like, if, you know, what's the depth of your staff? You know, how confident do you feel in your entire coaching staff? Because it might not just be your head coach. It could be your head coach and both coordinators. You know, so do you have guys in place that, you know, can step up and take on more responsibility? Same thing with your roster in terms of, you know, losing a player. Do you have depth, you know, at quarterback, at receiver, if in fact you end up being affected? Another concern I would have, and I know people have brought it up, but yeah, we're talking about this in the very beginning of August, and it's obviously not ideal, but the Eagles seem like they're going to manage it as best as possible. But what happens if it's right before a playoff game or the Super Bowl? I mean, you're going to come clean on a positive test and not have your quarterback who's asymptomatic for a Super Bowl or for a head coach for a playoff game. I mean, that would be the concern I have, because now the stakes have changed, the situation has changed, and I think, you know, being able to manage it as well as possible, you know, that's a totally different story much later in the year.
See, I think this is one of the great untold storylines of the season. We're talking about the players testing positive, being placed on the COVID-19 reserve list, worrying about the safety of the players, as we should be. But I think it's just as much of a concern for the head coaches and assistant coaches, particularly who are older and more vulnerable to the virus. We've got coaches here like Pete Carroll, who's 69 years old, Bill Belichick, some of the older coaches in the league. And again, to me, that's where this becomes a real interesting issue. And you would think that the coaches would have to have a lot of concern about this virus, even more so than the players themselves right now.
Yeah, I can assure you, Adam, that there's no question that they do. And the training staffs in particular are concerned about some of their head coaches, because you know that the head trainer and the head coach, those two guys, as much as the head coach is tied together, is really has a great relationship with ownership, the head coach and the trainer probably spend more time together than any two people within the entire football operation, because the trainer is talking to them every single day about this, the condition of the football team from a health perspective. And I can assure you this, guys like Rich Burkholder down in Kansas City with Andy Reid, I mean, they're concerned about the well-being of guys like Andy Reid. They're concerned, you're right, about guys like Pete Carroll and Bill Belichick, because, I mean, they're right in the thick of it now. These guys, are, like, interact with everybody in the organization. They are a little bit older. And, you know, even if it wasn't, Tim, as you alluded to, you know, before a playoff game or in a stretch run or an important game late in the season, I mean, these guys set the tone. These are really, I mean, these are Hall of Fame caliber coaches that if they're gone, I don't care how many good assistants you have on your staff, your entire organization would be rocked if they had to sit out for any period of time once the regular season starts. So, look, there's a lot of nail biting going on. There's a lot of sleepless nights going on the part of trainers and medical staff to really try and keep this thing buttoned up. Because the season right now, I mean, Adam, you've been talking about it all offseason. The season's going to go forward. And these trainers right now, they're on the clock, man. They're earning every single dime that they're making right now.
If I can just jump in, let me tell you something. The day that all of the assistant coaches get their physical at the beginning of training camp is one of the most stressful days of the entire season. Because there's a lot of guys that maybe haven't been taking great care of themselves that are wondering if they're going to be healthy. I mean, Lou, tell me if I'm wrong. I mean, there are guys that are about it because
situations
or whatever it may be, and they know that they're heading into a grind of a season.
Yeah, that's certainly something that we've discovered here. A lot of guys showing up unaware, asymptomatic here, that they actually have coronavirus, and they're finding out soon. And it seems that now is probably the best time for everyone to figure out.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
That they have it. Time now for some camp concern levels. We'll touch on some of our top stories of this offseason, and we're going to gauge the level of concern. First up, the latest from Patriots' Devin McCourty on the NFL moving up the opt-out deadline to Wednesday.
I think it's an absolute joke that the NFL is changing the opt-out period, mainly because they don't want to continue to see guys opt out. I'm sure they're shocked about how many guys have opted out. But it's the same thing when we sign a CBA. Sometimes some of those things that we think are good sometimes backfire. You know, we have rookies who are locked in long-term contracts and tagged. You guys don't think we would love to change that about the CBA, but we can't. That's the point of signing an agreement. So I think it's terrible. I think it's BS.
All right. So Adam Schefter, how concerned are you on a scale of 1 through 10 on the NFL's decision to move up the opt-out date?
Dine, I'll go 7 here, just because we've seen close to 50 players opt out already, and it's been described to me by other people around the league that they are concerned that there will be more, that there will be a surge of activity here in the days leading up to the deadline. There you see some of the notable players who already have opted out. Some notable big-name players on that list that leave holes on teams. But then again, many of these teams have prepared and drafted players at those very positions. But when you hear the McCourty speak out, they are truly respected. They have a good pulse of the league. They understand how it works. They're bothered by it. But I think the NFL wants to move this up because essentially the opt-out deadline was supposed to be a week after that side letter agreement between the NFL and the NFLPA was signed. It's taken them a little bit longer to get that signed than people expected. This was the time that people thought would be the opt-out deadline. So it's right where it's supposed to be. It just looks like the league is pushing it up a little bit.
Yeah, the McCourtys have been very outspoken about it. And Devin McCourty still hasn't even made his decision. So, Lou, let me ask you, the Patriots, they've had 8 players opt out this season. How concerning is this for New England now?
I gave it a 7. I'd say it's starting to get concerning because of the fact that they've had some players opt out that play key signal caller positions. Look, Dante Hightower, someone who knows, you know, the system up there in New England better than anyone. Patrick Chung plays the safety position. He's another signal caller along with Devin McCourty. Now, if Devin McCourty decided to opt out, then you really have some problems because you have veterans who could teach the system as well as Bill installs it. Now, the good thing about New England is the fact that they always seem to have an answer. They always seem to be a little bit of a step ahead. And they drafted players at safety in Kyle Duggar. They drafted players at linebacker in Josh Uche and Anthony Jennings from Michigan and Alabama, respectively, who play these positions. So they have an influx of young talent coming at those positions, but now they're missing the veterans that could help bring them along and kind of teach them the ropes and the nuance of Bill's very complicated schemes and what's required of a New England Patriot. So it's starting to get problematic up there in terms of the number of players that have been around. But, you know, I mean, this is what teams, I'm sure it's going to be kind of have like a rolling effect in the NFL. There's going to be teams that get hit harder than others, and you're just going to have to adjust. That is what makes this year, obviously, as we've said many different times, unlike anything we've ever seen in the history of the National Football League.
Yeah, this condensed offseason has made the veterans that much valuable. They're almost serving as assistant coaches out there now for those young rookies. Another major storyline this offseason, speaking of rookies, we got rookie quarterbacks, right, that aren't getting enough reps. Here's Dolphins quarterback and veteran Ryan Fitzpatrick on working with Tua this offseason.
You know, I don't know how much time it'll be before Tua is in the lineup. I know that I am the placeholder, and we've already had that conversation. I told him whenever it is that Tua gets his chance, whether it's early or late or whenever it is, I'm going to be his biggest cheerleader. And I was excited that they drafted him. And since, you know, meeting him in person finally the other day, I'm really excited. I think we've really hit it off. And even though I'm an old geezer to him, we've meshed personality-wise, and I'm excited to work with him.
I think that's called knowing your role right there. So, Tim, how concerned are you about rookies like Joe Burrow and Tua?
Listen, my concern meter would I put it all the way up at 10. And, you know, maybe it's a little bit different because I would expect to see Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know, to start the season in Miami. And so you could maybe bring it down a little bit there. But I think when you look at all of these rookie quarterbacks, what they're going to be asked to do is play the most difficult position in all of sports. And they're going to do it without the benefit of having any work prior to the season started. You had no rookie minicamp, no OTAs, no regular minicamp. You know, no, the training camp situation is going to be vastly different than it's ever been in the past, even in comparison to the lockout year. And then on top of it, you're going to have this environment in your team's facilities that's just going to be difficult to manage just as a regular player. You know, you may even be, as a young player, separated from a veteran quarterback that could be a resource for you. So I think there are so many aspects to this that are going to make this difficult for a young rookie quarterback to play well. And if a guy does, I think it's going to be, you know, one of the better feats that we've seen, you know, in the National Football League, to have a young guy in these circumstances at that position come in and play at a high level.
Oh, for sure. Rookies just got to their facilities for the first time. So the first time they're even seeing the locker rooms was last week. So obviously they have a lot of catching up to do. So finally, guys, another major storyline was the Packers this offseason, right? Their quarterback situation. Here's their head coach, Matt LaFleur.
Right now, most importantly, Aaron's our quarterback, and I see him here for a really long time. And however long that is, I don't think anybody knows. Nothing's guaranteed in this league. But I feel so lucky to be able to work with him on a daily basis. And, you know, I don't see that changing for a really long time.
Lou, please don't go 7 on me on this one. What's your concern level for Aaron Rodgers' future in Green Bay?
It's a 1. I'm not concerned at all because it's inevitable, right? We know what's going to wind up happening. Aaron knows what is coming down the road. He understands that it's a replacement league. Heck, he replaced, an icon in his time with Brett Favre. So he knows. He already admitted that. So quite honestly, Matt LaFleur's comments right now are just kind of like, to me, they just kind of go in one ear and out the other. They were really like not even, you know, they weren't really worth the time of day because, one, he contradicted himself. He said, I see, you know, Aaron being the quarterback here for a very long time. But then again, the very next phrase he said was, nothing is guaranteed. So it's just like, well, which one is it? Is he going to be here a long time, or is nothing guaranteed and he could be gone tomorrow? Which one is it? Aaron's already come to grips with the fact that I'm going to go on a revenge tour this year for sure. I'm going to go ahead and just try and make everybody look silly because I'm a pro and I'm a Hall of Famer, so that's what I do. So it doesn't really matter what Matt says because eventually they're going to replace him anyway. So I think the concern level is just like, we're playing ball. He just didn't even need to make those comments because they don't really mean anything.
Yeah, certainly some mixed messages there in Green Bay. So we're talking about a lot of confusing things happening and concerning things. The one thing that isn't is the XFL guys, a group including actor and former WWE star Dwayne The Rock Johnson. They've agreed to purchase the XFL for about $15 million. This is according to a news release that was issued on Monday morning. Remember, the XFL basically just canceled it all this season after COVID. But it certainly was getting a lot of excitement, a lot of players developing there, hoping to get a shot one day playing the NFL, so we'll see.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
That returns and when it does. Well, that's 43 moments and 43 seconds for his 43rd birthday. Happy birthday. Let's dive a little deeper into the number 43 on Brady's 43rd birthday, right? So he rushed exactly 43 times in a season twice. His first season as a starter, that was in 2004, then in 2011, both of those seasons ending in trips to the Super Bowl. Then Brady has started 24 games, including the playoffs, in which his team eclipsed 43 points. His 24 such starts are the second most in history, trailing only his new division rival, Drew Brees, who hit that mark twice. That was last season. Brady also has thrown for at least 4,300 yards in 8 seasons. That's tied with Peyton Manning and Phillip Rivers for second most in NFL history. Brady has also reached about 4,300-yard mark in 2 of his last 3 seasons, and he's really entering uncharted territory here, as he'll likely become just the 4th quarterback to start an NFL game after turning 43 years old. The others, Steve DeBerg and Vinny Testaverde and Warren Moon, combined for 2-6 records. So I don't know who did all that math, but I am impressed. So we got 43 years old, 4 + 3 = 7. 7 rings. Tim, you're good at math. You're good at football too. What are the 7 most important things for Tom Brady to get his 7th ring?
Well, I think I've cracked the code. I've got these 7 things that if he gets these, then he'll get that 7th ring.
All right.
And let's start, Diana, with pass protection. Good pass pro. You know, he's 43, not the most mobile guy in the world. And so good pass protection is going to go a long way for Tom Brady. That's number one. Number two is a good defense. Let's remember now, Teddy Bruschi and the group did a pretty good job for that Super Bowl against the greatest show on turf. Tom Brady only threw for 145 yards in that Super Bowl. So a good defense is going to be necessary for Tom Brady to get that 7th ring. And then good coaching. You know, so much talk right now about, is it Bill or is it Tom? The truth of the matter is, it was both of them. Bill Belichick created a culture of winning, of very few mistakes, not beating yourself. That means something, and that has a lot to do with the success in New England, even with Tom as the quarterback. Number 4 would be chemistry. You need great chemistry between the quarterback and the play caller. Think about whether it was Charlie Weiss or whether it's been Josh McDaniels. There's been great chemistry, you know, for Tom Brady with coaching staff, but also with the pass catchers. Could be Troy Brown, Wes Welker, Kevin Falk, guys like that. You know, you need that same type of chemistry. Number 5 would be good health. Listen, he's 43 years old. I'm 42 years old, and I think I pulled my hamstring last night sleeping. The fact that he's going to get ready for a season and play an entire season again being healthy with everything that we have going on, I'm sure he's been working on pliability, but that's important. Number 6, good fortune. You might want to call it good luck. Yes, the ball bounces funny. Sometimes you need, you know, a tuck rule. Sometimes you need the guy to make the kick. Sometimes you need things to go in your favor. It's a game of inches. People always talk about it. Good fortune can go a long way. And number 7, and I think this is why, I think Brady knows this, which is why he brought this guy along. He needs a good Gronk. He needs Gronk to be Gronk. The guy, when he has played, has been as good as any tight end we've ever seen in football. He's a touchdown machine. But he also has had, you know, multiple arm injuries that have cost him some time, 2 back surgeries that have cost him time, a major knee injury that's cost him time. And oh, by the way, the guy was wrestling last year. So he needs a good Gronk to have this workout.
That's a sweet list right there. You pulled your hamstring in your sleep. I mean, that's impressive, Tim.
I'm pretty
that's
sure, impressive. Dude. But the 40s have not been friendly.
Hey, yeah, I get you, man. I can tell you some stories. It's crazy, and I'm in my 50s. So look, I think I'm with you though. His top 3 protection, without a doubt, is number 1. But I think number 2, you know, his protection is going to keep him healthy. And at Tom's age, at 43, he has to stay healthy. And I think chemistry would probably be number 3 for me, because of the fact that he's on a new football team, hasn't been around this new football team, hasn't been around the coaches, which for me would be number 4. So I would kind of flip flop those 2. Coaching and chemistry, 3 and 4, and take health and put it up there at number 2. And then you're right, with the rest of them, we can just fill them in. You definitely need a good Gronk. You need some good luck. But I think pass protection and health are going to go hand in hand, without a doubt. You don't want that guy getting hit at 43. I don't care how much pliability he has. You don't want him getting hit at 43. Because look, if you're pulling hamstrings at 42 getting out of bed, then Tom, look, you take too many hits, man. You're not going to last very long. But what he's doing is just remarkable. I mean, he's just a freak of nature. And it's just so cool to see one of the best self-made success stories in the history of sports. Because remember, Tom Brady didn't come into the league with a silver spoon in his mouth. Mm-hmm. He earned every single thing he has gotten. That is what's so cool about his story.
This is all about TB and TB, right? A rebranding, a resurgence, a revitalization, another old person moving to Florida for a little bit of life. And I think anybody that steps into a new environment thrives in that sometimes. I think he loves this challenge. He's all fired up about it. He's got new wide receivers, new tight, new everything down in Tampa. Again, I think he's all ready and fired up about this.
Yeah, no offense to the old people moving to Florida.
Another old person moving to Florida, Adam, huh?
<That's great.
laughs> There we go.
You know what? I'm thinking, I want to buy a house in Florida. That's exactly what I was thinking myself. Does this mean something? Am I, like, kind of saying something about my life arc
old,
here?
Lou. Yeah, you're old, Lou.
None of you look a day pretty over much. 30. So you guys
are all doing fine. Not as old and fragile as Tim. Not as old and fragile as Tim, you know, who pulls his hamstrings like that, but still old.
Tim is so humble. I've seen Tim throw a football down at Saints training camp with Drew Brees, and he ran circles around Drew. So, Tim, you can talk about your hamstring during your...
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
But you're very humble. Back here on NFL Live, we've got some breaking news. Let's send it right out to our Adam Schefter. Adam, what do we got?
Well, Dana, two bits of news. Moments ago, the San Francisco 49ers reached agreement with Jordan Reed, the former Pro Bowl free agent from the Washington football team who's played for Kyle Shanahan in Washington before. Jordan Reed now will go out to San Francisco. Keep in mind, this is a team that is missing Deebo Samuel, that has George Kittle wanting a new contract. And so they get some assurance from a player in Jordan Reed who has had concussion history, but when he's healthy, is an elite tight end who Kyle Shanahan can deploy in that offense and make great, great production from. Also, moments ago, the Minnesota Vikings traded with the Las Vegas Raiders for P.J. Hall, the former second-round draft pick who the Raiders were planning to release. They're not releasing him anymore because the Vikings are now trading for P.J. Hall, the former second-round draft pick.
All right, Lewis.
That Jordan Reed. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Diana.
I think you're going to probably comment on Jordan Reed in that Kyle Shanahan offense, which he's obviously very comfortable with if he can stay healthy. What's your reaction to that signing?
Yeah, I think that's a great one. I think really, combining him with George Kittle in a two tight end attack, if they wanted to go 12 personnel, two wide receivers, two tight ends, one back. I mean, look, Jordan Reed is as good as it gets. It's really just a matter of health and availability for him. He is a matchup nightmare. And him and George Kittle together, you might as well have four wides on the football field because you can just split them out and deploy them like wide receivers. So that just gives the matchup for the defense all the more headaches, because now what do you do? Do you put nickel on the field against 12 personnel when you have two tight ends, and then they can just put them back down in the corner and run the football on you? It's kind of like what the Indianapolis Colts used to do back in Peyton's heyday when they ran two tight ends, two wide receivers, you know, with Reggie Wayne and Marvin Harrison and Edgerrin James and those guys, and they just ran up and down the field on you. So that's a great strategic signing on the part of the San Francisco 49ers, provided that, you know, they get George's contract situation all squared away and Jordan can stay healthy. I mean, that's a great signing by John Lynch.
Yeah, I would agree with you, Lou. And, you know, maybe you can kind of minimize, you know, his exposure to being injured by, you know, playing him a little bit less. And, you know, you think about his career in Washington, and Kyle's obviously familiar with him from his time in Washington. I mean, he had 11 touchdowns in a season where he played 14 games. So, like, if you can have him, you know, for more than half of the season, he's got the ability to be an absolute matchup nightmare. His size and quickness combination is so unique. It's rare. People of his size don't typically have his quickness, which is what makes him so hard to cover. And so, you know, finding opportunities to get him matched up in space on defenders that don't have either the size or the quickness to match up against him, is a huge advantage, and I'm sure that Kyle would have a plan for it.
Yeah, 7 documented concussions, right? So we know he's got this strong history, but when he is healthy and he's on the field, he is certainly a game changer going back from when Mike Shanahan was a head coach at Jay Gruden. He was always that X factor on that offense that could make such a difference when he was on the field. All right, new one NFL Live, guys, right now. Raiders reporter Paul Gutierrez is reporting this. He's saying the Raiders season ticket holders told in an email that no fans are going to be at home games this season. So the Vegas Raiders, they're going to open up their brand new stadium without any fans. So that is now official. Back here on NFL Live, the Saints are trying to get creative. They recently rented out 4 floors of the Loews Hotel that's right in downtown New Orleans, about 5 minutes away from the Superdome here. And what they're trying to do, they're trying to create this bubble-like atmosphere for the players and the staff during this training camp. Well, Sean Payton actually spoke to NBC's Peter King about this, and he said it's not a bubble, actually. It's a sequester. The message from the league is the show must go on. If so, we've got to do everything we can to be sure that happens. So it sounds like it could be a pretty good idea. Lou, what do you think of it?
I think it's a great idea, quite honestly. Look, I think we can all look at what is going on in Orlando with the NBA right now and say that it's been a pretty, you know, it's been a pretty successful venture for them. Now, I understand that that is a bubble, and that is absolutely, you know, something where no one from the outside is getting in. You're not going anywhere. It's just basketball all the time. And there's rigorous testing and a lot of real stringent protocols, and that's not what Sean's doing, but it does reduce the risk of people from the outside or factors from the outside affecting what is going on as far as the players and their health on the inside and within the, you know, the confines of the organization. I think the more you can limit players and their exposure to outside forces that could potentially, you know, compromise their health, the better. I mean, the NBA, when you see guys, you know, when you're watching these basketball games on TV, these guys are high-fiving and clapping and hanging around each other without masks on because they feel safe and secure because they know that everybody within that bubble has tested negative and everyone is kind of, you know, doing the same thing. In the NFL, it's going to be different. It just is, and you're going to have to trust the guy next to you to do the right thing. And Sean's trying to, like, obviously not put him in a bubble, but trying, again, reduce that risk, narrow that scope of who they interact with as much as possible so you can keep your team as healthy as possible because, as he said, the NFL has decided the show must go on, so he's doing everything he can to keep his team safe.
Yeah, I agree, Lou. You know, the NFL made a decision not to go with the bubble idea, and so if they're going to ever revisit something like that, then all these players that have opted out, they would need to kind of another opportunity to figure out whether you want to be a part of that, you know, more sterile environment and controlled environment that you just described versus the thing that they opted out of, which was guys leaving the facility and going on their way and, you know, basically having the trust that they were going to end up doing the right thing. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt that we can look at, you know, kind of how the NBA has handled it versus what we've already seen in Major League Baseball to understand that when you have a roster of over 50 players in a really long season, let's remember that we're still planning on playing football after Christmas. We're at the beginning of August right now. It is a marathon, and to think that, you know, you're going to have guys do the right thing, not put their guard down all the way through until that point. You know, Lou has talked about trust a lot throughout this process, and I think he's exactly right. That is a long time to have to trust that your teammates and people inside your organization are doing the right thing.
This is going to be a season that's going to take unmatched discipline from the players, and the players that behave the right way, the organizations that are in compliance the right way, probably will have the best chance to succeed. Now, when you speak to people in the buildings around the league, the one thing that they say is they've never felt safer than when they're in these buildings where they have to fill out questionnaires every day, where they get their blood tested every day, where when they catch someone with a positive test, like Doug Peterson, he immediately gets tested again to confirm whether he does or doesn't have COVID-19. And so the players and the people and the employees in these buildings actually feel safe. And that's what they're going to need. So even though some teams don't have a hotel like the Saints are doing, there is a bubble-like atmosphere within the confines of each team's training complex. Now, there's always going to be outside interferences, outside forces that you can't control. But the teams and the organizations know that the ones that have the best chance to succeed will be the ones that do the best chance of limiting their exposure.
Yeah, and Adam, as you know, lots of organizations around the league are, they're getting rid of interns, they're getting rid of volunteers, they're cutting their rosters down to even below 80 just to make sure they're doing every single thing they can to lower that risk here. Because, you know, at the end of the day, it may turn out to be who's the healthiest team out there. All right, guys, so let's stay in this division. Let's talk a little Tom Brady all day long. You've seen it all over social media. It is his 43rd birthday, and here he is on Instagram talking about how proud he is of being a Buccaneer and also how it's the year of the mobile quarterback. Obviously a little tongue-in-cheek here. So it had us thinking, guys, this will be Tom Brady's year of blank. I need you guys to fill in what you think it is. So I'm going to go around the horn here for you guys. Adam, I want to start with you. The year of what?
Well, I think the year of the Fountain of Youth, as if he never lost them. He's going down to Florida to find that again, to continue on at the age of 43, to continue to be the young-looking guy that he is, playing like a young man that he is. Fountain of Youth for Tom Brady in Tampa.
Lou.
Fun. That's what it's all about for Tom this year. It's just flat-out fun. And you know what? And that's like, look, I think many coaches and many players would say this, the fun is in the winning. And Tom has had plenty of that, no question about it. But doesn't he look like someone who right now, when you see these videos that he filmed with Gronk, does he look like someone who's kind of like taking a much different approach? It just looks like, look, I'm in South Florida. I'm living in Jeter's house. I'm on the water. I'm on boats. My tan is looking sweet. I'm pliable. I'm all that. I'm driving my Aston Martin. I'm good to go. Fun. Have some fun.
Timmy.
It is fun. It's the year of the unknown for me when I look at this. Look, so much uncertainty. New teammates, new offense, new location, Jeter's mansion, all of that stuff. I feel like there should be like a Frozen song playing during this. He's going into the unknown.
You guys are all nice. You're all nice. I'm going, it's the year he gets exposed. That'll do it for us here on NFL Live. The Jump is next.